What's up, everybody? This is Sean Mandoli, and you're listening to the Hopeland Church Podcast. My prayer is that you encounter God as a result of listening to this sermon today. Enjoy. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Today, we celebrate that Jesus is alive. And so, happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. Whatever it is you want to call it, we're celebrating Jesus today. He has risen from the dead. And this, on our calendar, this is the time that we celebrate that our God is alive. And so, welcome here online or on our podcast. And we are in our final segment of our series this month on redemption, which is fitting being that it is Resurrection Sunday. And we're going to talk specifically about the bread and the wine, his body and his blood, okay? And what that means for us. And so, for all those joining with us online, we're actually going to be receiving communion together after the word today, right here online. We're going to be receiving communion. So get what you have ready and available, and I'm going to be leading you in communion after the word. And so let me pray, and we're going to jump in. Before I pray, once again, to get the sermon notes, just go onto the YouVersion Bible app, go to our page. They're there. If you've already made Hopeland your church in YouVersion, you will get the email of the notes, and you should have gotten them already. You can also scan the QR code on the screen or text the word sermon, S-E-R-M-O-N, to our number, 323-405-3232. That's how you get the sermon notes, okay? And they're just going to be right there on your phone, all right? And so here we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and this day and throughout all of history and into the present day. We celebrate that Jesus is alive. We celebrate the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that you were raised for our justification. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are the living God and that we are temples of the living God. And we celebrate you today, Jesus. I pray this word ministers to people and encourages them in coming into and developing, Lord, a real relationship with you. I pray that this word today challenges all of us to lean into our relationship, to commune with you all the more. As a result of the resurrection, thank you, Lord, you've called us into the fellowship of your Son. And so thank you, Lord, that we can first fellowship with you, we can commune with you, and we can partake of you because you died, you were buried, and you rose again the third day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we've been preaching all month about the blessings of the atonement. We've talked about redemption in detail. We've talked about reconciliation. We've talked about justification. We have talked about propitiation. And we have talked about regeneration. Okay? And we've covered all those in great detail. And that is what and how we benefit from the cross, from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The finished work of the cross has provided these things for us. If you have not listened to those podcast, I strongly urge you to listen to them because these are just foundations of your faith. It is just some very in-depth teaching on the blessings of the cross, okay? And so I encourage you to go back. So as we close out the series, as we celebrate Jesus today on Easter Sunday, it's kind of like because of the atonement, right? And everything we've covered and the resurrection, what now? Like what now? So I'm going to jump in and just give you our first point here. And it's pretty long phrase, but it says pretty much the main thing that I want to encourage you with and challenge you in your walk with the Lord today is this. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so we can partake of him. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again so we can partake of him. All right, that we can be, as Peter wrote in I believe that's 2 Peter 1, and that we might share that verse later, but that we are partakers of the divine nature. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you, take and eat. This is my blood, this is the new covenant of my blood, right? Shed for you, take and drink. And so the whole purpose of why Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil, right? For this purpose, the Son of Man, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What has been in the way of us and God? It is sin. All right. And he took care of that on the cross. And now we can partake of him, his word, his presence, his spirit. We can commune with him. He dwells within us. We can abide in him and he in us, right? We can abide in the vine, and we receive life, eternal life from Jesus. Okay. The eternal life we receive is for this life and the life to come. All right. And so this is what this is all about. This is what Jesus has invited humanity into, is fellowship with God in Christ. All right. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. Here it is. And we're going to get into some verses here. We're really going to hang out in John chapter 6 today, okay? Because this is where Jesus talks about that he's the bread of life, okay? And so, let me say it again. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so we can partake of him, all right? Here we go. John chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus just fed 5,000. Some folks came back because they noticed that he did that. And so they went out of the way to find him because of what he did as far as feeding people natural food, natural sustenance. And this was Jesus' response to these people that came to find him. He said in John 6, 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, okay? But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, all right? Because God the Father has set his seal on him. Okay, hallelujah. So here in the Greek, this word food, we're talking about food today. All right, this word food, it means a meal, that which nourishes, refreshes, and sustains. Okay, so Jesus is like, look, y'all are looking for some real food, wondering about some real food. And he said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. He's speaking of spiritual food. He's speaking of himself, okay? And he's about to go into this, all right? He's really about to talk about who he is, and the whole purpose of his coming is to provide us himself, to give of himself to us. And he is what will sustain us in this life and provide us food that will last for eternity, all right? And so here we go. I know we can talk about this and say, man, you know, the world won't satisfy, right? And, you know, and just the whatever is out there in the world, right? That people are chasing success, or chasing men, or chasing women down and thinking that they get enough women, or they have a woman that they, you know, and there's nothing wrong with for a man to desire a woman, right? But I'm just saying, when that becomes the main thing, or a woman, a man, you will not be satisfied. And Jesus saying, man, don't labor for the food which perishes, or, you know, it could be just power, worldly success, whatever is out there that somehow tries to feed us. We've found ourselves, man, this food perishes, right? And so Jesus talking about, man, the food, the meal, the thing that nourishes and refreshes and sustains you is going to endure to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, all right? And so even in the church world, this is something I see, something that as of late has been weighing heavy on my heart, is like people in church, people that are even following Jesus, if we're not careful, we're going to start to feed on things that do not sustain. We can be even all caught up in church, serving in church, leading in church, leading a church, right? And all of that stuff that's involved in quote unquote church life is not food, right? So for instance, church culture, church brands, church atmosphere, church vibes, the institution of the nonprofit organization is not food. Jesus is our food. Okay? All those things that we have in church culture, you know, these are at best embellishments, right? They're embellishments, not the main course. They're just a garnish, right? It's just all this stuff in church that makes up church culture. At best, it's a garnishment. It's an ornament. It's decorative. But we must remember, even as Christ followers, that we feed on Jesus alone. We must be diligent as believers to draw from Jesus alone. This is the whole purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection. All right? He said, man, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. All right? Once again, that is John chapter 6, verse 27. All right? And so, right here on the screen, I'm just going to show you, if you just look at some, I'm just going to put up some kind of random plates of food. Okay? And you can see maybe on these plates of food, you got some like full course meal type of thing. You know, you got the meat, the potatoes, some veggies. And then you'll notice, right, on these plates that you'll have a garnish, right? You have a garnish. So, you know what? You're not supposed to eat the garnish. You know, it's there to, it's not there to sustain you. It's not there to truly refresh you. It's not there to nourish you. It is the food on the plate that you're actually paying for, you know what I mean, or prepared, that is going to sustain you. Is that right? And so if we're not careful, many times what happens is as believers and even as church leaders, you know, we got to be careful that we don't emphasize the garnishment, the embellishment of church, the vibe, the environment, even the natural kind of place and time and space over the meal. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. It's like, you know, when you get, you know, you ever go to a breakfast spot and, in, you know, you get your full breakfast, you got your potatoes, your eggs, whatever it is you'd like to have breakfast. And then sometimes they'll have this little kind of like sliver of orange in there, you know, and it's kind of a twisted piece of orange, right? I'll be honest with you, I like the orange. But even at best, even if they're are things about church culture and church environment that can kind of, we like it. We kind of like, oh man, it's a cool place, a cool vibe. It's like, man, it's got a cool social aspect to it or whatever. You know, maybe it smells good. Maybe they play the new cool music or whatever. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, with young people, it's like you want to be in a place where there's young people and it's got an environment that can relate to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. At all. There's nothing wrong with the garnishment. All right. There's nothing wrong with a little embellishment. I don't mind a little orange peel on my breakfast plate because I like oranges and I'll probably eat that one. You know what I'm saying? But here's the point is that we, as believers, we must get back to Jesus and feeding on him. I've seen far too many people come into church and for those things. And when those things change or shift or whatever, they find, you know, it's almost like their faith is more about this natural, cool environment than Christ, than the meal. Can I get an amen? Okay. And so garnishment, I'm just going to give you, I know you guys know what this means, but this kind of can speak to the things many times we put our faith in, but it's not Jesus. If we're not careful, the things that draw us into community many times are just surface. And I'm telling you, those surface things are not going to keep you in faith. They're just not going to keep you there. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to keep you because it ain't food, right? That's some parsley leaves. We don't put our faith in the little leaf up on the plate, right? We put our faith and trust in the meal, and the meal is Christ. Somebody say amen. What am I saying? The word of God, the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God himself is our food. Nothing and nobody else. So garnishment, here's the definition, dictionary definition, garnish. Think about the garnishes of life. Decorative, embellish, to add decorative touches to food, right? And me as a pastor, I feel this really, honestly, I feel this heavy on my heart that we don't emphasize garnishment over the meal. That we make sure that the meal is good, right? That the word is sound. That our pursuit of Jesus and his presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is genuine, authentic, and real. Can I get an amen, somebody? Why? Because the food Jesus gives endures to everlasting life. You ain't going to endure chewing on leaves. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Embellish. This is what embellish means. It means to improve or beautify by adding detail or ornament. All right? It's all good. Garnishment's cool. Embellishment is cool. But it ain't Jesus. Come on, somebody. Here it is. Here's my next point. Only Jesus, the person, can satisfy a person's longing. Can I get an amen? Only Jesus, the person, can satisfy a person's longing. All right? Ministry won't satisfy you. Those that feel called to ministry, those that are in ministry, those that have been serving in ministry, the ministry itself will not satisfy you. The ministry itself at times will frustrate you. The ministry itself, the work of ministry will disappoint you. The work of ministry will sadden you. The work of ministry will vex you and trouble you. The work of ministry will bring joy to your life. The work of ministry is fulfilling, but the work of ministry will not satisfy you. Jesus, the person, will, but the work we do for him is going to be messy, is going to get sloppy, it's not going to be done right. It's gonna be choppy. It's gonna be crunchy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna be smooth. It's the work of ministry, right? It's what we do for him. And that's part of our calling and part of our obedience. But if we aren't partaking of him, the work of ministry will take you out of him. Somebody say amen. So doing things for people won't satisfy you. It's part of life, but we can't rest our faith in that. Right? Success, we know this, success, as subjective as it is, it will not satisfy you. Let me say this too, the church and the people of the church will not satisfy you, nor was it ever intended to do so, okay? Hallelujah. It was never intended to do so, you know? And so, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Let's continue in John. So we just read John 6:27. Now we're going to just go down a little bit and we're going to read verse 31 to 35. Okay. So John 31, 35, Jesus talking about himself and the purpose of his coming and our approach to him. Okay. And so here we go. Here it is. This is the folks talking now. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Okay. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he. The bread of God is not a duty. The bread of God is not a discipline. The bread of God is not religious dogma. The bread of God is not church attendance. The bread of God is not ritual. The bread of God is Jesus. The bread of God is a person. We've been called into the fellowship of his son. Verse 33 of John 6, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, person, relationship, fellowship, communion, he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. The gospel is about a person, not an institution. The gospel is about Christ, the person. The gospel is not about a denomination. It's not about a church camp. It's not about a church movement. It's not about a specific brand of church, a local church. It is not about a political party or any political party. It is not about the next hip celebrity preacher. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. The gospel is about a person, and that person is Jesus, the Christ, and he is calling us into fellowship with him. The gospel is Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with believers in their heart. So if his death, burial, resurrection is so I can partake of him, you know, I just want to give you some practical things of how do I partake of Christ daily? How do I commune with him? How do I practically take a step toward partaking of the divine nature of Christ? I got a few here. Sing your song to the Lord. Worship. Worship specifically, meaning I know worship is more than singing, but I'm saying sing your song to the Lord. I say your song because what is that song for you maybe in this particular season or moment, or what is that song for you? You gotta worship God. I'm telling you, praise the Lord, what a liberty we have. That one of the ways we commune and fellowship with God, this is how God created it, is through song. Your worship, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. He inhabits the praises of his people. You know, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy of my praise. And so if you're missing out on God, if you're feeling disconnected from him, if you're like, you know, what's going on? Where are you, God? I understand those moments happen, those times, those seasons, rough seasons and stuff. But I'm just saying right now, I mean, you want to fellowship with the Lord? Sing your song to the Lord. Sing your song. All right? Worship. Sing. Right? Whatever. Come on now. Music is so available to us now. And worship music is just all over the place. Like, it ain't hard to find. Just do that, you know? Play it, worship, sing. You got to worship God. You want to commune with him, you got to worship. All right, here's the next one, contemplation, meditation. And so what do I mean by that? It's created time and space for you where you can just sit down, read the scripture, you know, pray and journal. And, you know, just those moments, quietness. Shut out the world, go into the closet, pray in secret. And I say contemplation, meditation because I'm talking biblical meditation now. You know, meditate on the word day and night. Read it, speak it, pray it, mutter. That's what the word in the Hebrew means. Meditation means to mutter. It means to just, you know, meditating on the word is muttering the word, praying, spending some time with God alone. It's beautiful moments. That's a way that we commune with God. We are partaking of him is obviously in the word. He is the word. His name is the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was in the beginning with God, right? And so, and the word is God. Right? So just get it, spending that time. I'm talking daily now. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about your walk. I'm talking about daily communion with Christ. This is why he came. He died and he rose again. That is God's invitation to us to fellowship with him. Okay? Here's another one. This is so powerful and so needed in our lives as believers, is that we are in fellowship with believers. That there are believers in your world, in the rhythm of your life, that you have relationship with believers. As imperfect as they are, as frustrating as they can be, we are called into the fellowship of the Son, and we're called into the fellowship of one another, that we, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So there's something about partaking of Christ in direct connection and relationship with his body. Okay, his body. And so when we are not connected to the body, we are missing out on the Christ in others. All right, here's another one. This is just daily communion with Christ. This is it. It's not complicated. Hallelujah. Right? So also here it is. Communion with God is be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. And however that applies, whether it's a specific thing that God's calling you to do, or it could be, you know, whatever it is. This is where sensitivity to the Holy Spirit comes in. Because it's amazing when you obey God, that on that road of obedience, in that, like, you are partaking of him. He's there. He confirms it. He confirms us when we're obedient, when we step out in faith and we do what he's called us to do. When we're on obedience, whether that is obedience of repenting of sin and getting bad habits, ungodliness out of your life, that's obedience. But also just the obedience of following him and obeying him and doing what he's called you to do, stepping into that calling and stepping into those relationships that God's calling you to, even that. So obedience just isn't turning from sin, it's turning towards God's will for your life specifically, and whatever that means in the season you're in. I am telling you, if you want to partake of the divine nature and fellowship with God, it's going to be as a result of obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. Okay, so here it is. Here, just to add to this here, be less dutiful and more obedient. I believe sometimes obedience is doing less. Okay, obedience isn't doing more per se. Sometimes it's doing less. Okay, sometimes obedience is doing less. It's simplifying. And God does not complicate. In obedience, it is simple. It's not convoluted, complex. Many times there is times of suffering in our obedience, but his leading is simple. Right? Where you say, I follow, that's simple. Whatever you say, God, do, I will do. Wherever you say, go, I will go. That is simple. All right? It's a shepherd and a sheep relationship. Right? So here we go. Here's my next point. It's another long one. And I'm speaking as a pastor here, of course, but this applies to me as a pastor. We've preached too much church hype at the expense of preaching daily communion with Christ. Okay? Church hype will not save you. Church hype will not keep you. Communion with Christ will. Somebody say amen. Here we go. Let's continue in John here. Continue in John. John chapter 6, verse 52 to 59. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Simple. Somebody say simple. He who feeds on me will live because of me. Hallelujah. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Now as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats his bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. My next point is this. Your relationship with God. Sorry. Your relationship with Jesus is everything. Your relationship with Jesus is everything. All right. I'm going to read another verse here. I just want to close it out. It's kind of tied in here. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or drink. He's speaking of religious ritual and practice, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. He's speaking to Jewish people in Colossians. Colossians is about Christ. We're actually going to do a series this year on the book of Colossians. But the whole theme of Colossians is Christ, the person, right? And so in this chapter, chapter 2 of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is confronting the Greek mindset of knowledge and the Jewish mindset of religious practice. And he's saying that none of that saves, but it is Christ. And so here in the specific verse, he's addressing the Jewish religious ritual. And he says in verse 17, these things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The substance is of Christ, or the reality, the real thing. And so in our walk with God, this is my encouragement to you. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, I'm telling you that the whole purpose of his coming was to bring us into fellowship with him, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. So Father, I just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus for everybody here, God, that they would step into and walk in a deeper walk with you, that as you've called them into fellowship with you, I pray they would respond, that we would answer the call that you are saying to us, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. We let you in, God, and God, our desire, Lord, is to fellowship with you, to know you, the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And my prayer is that you go out there and you change your world through the power of Jesus Christ. If you're ever in the LA area, join us for one of our weekend gatherings and follow us on social media and check out our website at hopelandla.com. Peace.